Okay, we're good to go.
Alrighty, let's go back to the beginning of my text. So my chabur is entitled A Biblical Pause. And something quite unusual happens at the beginning of this week's Sedra. It's a very rare scriptural phenomenon known as Pisgah Be'emtsa Pasuk, which is literally a break in the middle of a verse. And I'm going to share my screen with you so you can see what I'm talking about. Oh, I can't. Could you allow me to share my screen, please?
It should work now.
Okay. Should be that one. Can you see it? No, you can't yet. Can you see the screen moving?
Yep.
Can you see? You can see that, right?
Yes.
You can't see this one.
You can't tell you what we can't see.
You can see a picture of the chumash, essentially.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Well, we can keep going then. All right. So this is what I'm talking about. I'm just going to move the screen down. Here we go. So this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, this is Pinchas. You've got, this is the second paragraph, if you like. At the end of the second paragraph, you've got three words, Vayhi Achreihem Geifa. In the column, actually in the chumash, it helps us. It says, Pisgah Be'emtsa Pasuk. We have a break in the text and onto the next line, straight on, with no punctuation. And I'm going to show you the same thing in a Torah scroll. Unfortunately, the quality of the picture is pretty poor, but you can still get the, this is a, my friend Amadeus Asofa sent me this picture, but I think he must have taken it quickly. But you can see the same thing. So this end of the sentence, Vayihi Achreihem Geifa, space in the text and straight on to Vayomer Hashem. And just to prove to you that I'm not lying, this third document, which is actually a 16th century codex. The same thing. And here you can see, as you can see, sometimes in Safari, for instance, some of the Chumashim, you can see a pay in the middle of the text and this break halfway through a sentence and straight on. Okay. So the sentence itself is quite an interesting sentence. I'm going to move on to the next one, I think. This type of break only happens twice in Torah. So it happens in Pinchas and it happens in Vayishlach, which is my next source. So Vayishlach, same thing. You can see a break in the middle of the sentence, Pisgah Be'emtsa Pasuk in the column here. Break in the sentence there, next line. It happens in one other place, but it's slightly different. And the last place that happens is in Zefarim. This way, you can see it's slightly different because it doesn't move to the next line. You have a space here. But again, you can see Pisgah Be'emtsa Pasuk in the middle there. There's this space and then the text moves on. So those are the three places in Torah happens, but the two that are the same, very similar or same phenomena essentially are Vayishlach and Pinchas, which is what we're going to talk about now. So here we go. This is the text we're going to talk about. I can see you all wondering why. Daniel, I can see you're thinking, why? Why does this happen? And why is there this unusual break in Pinchas? And what does it mean? And I'm going to give you some ideas. Obviously, there's lots of different, actually, there weren't that many interpretations out there, but there's quite a few. And I'm going to give you some of the ideas that Amar Farshim have suggested over the ages. But I think we need to contextualize it first. So what's going on here? The story of Pinchas, as you probably know, is split between the end of last week's Sedra and the beginning of this week's Sedra. At the end of Balak, the people of Israel are behaving inappropriately with the Moabite women, and they have begun to worship Baal Peor. So they're worshiping somebody else's god. And this culminates in Pinchas slaying an Israelite man, Zur, and his Midianite paramour, his lover, Cosby. It sounds a bit like Ghostbusters to me. After they'd brazenly sinned together in public view. So Pinchas goes and kills these two individuals who are behaving badly. And this act immediately stops a plague that has thus far killed 24,000 people. And it's interesting to note that at this point that Zur was the son of the leader of the tribe of Shimon. And in fact, the Rambam suggests that the tribe of Shimon made up most of the dead in this plague, because pre-census, pre-plague, Shimon was counted as the large, third largest tribe with about over 50,000 men, and is by far the smallest in our parasha with 22,000. Okay, so the actual text of the sentence that we're interested in actually is up already, so you can see it. I'm going to read to you the English. Where's my mouse? So it begins here. This section here, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, attack the Midianites and defeat them, for they attacked you with trickery that they practiced against you because of the affair of Peor. And because of the affair of the kinswoman Cosby, the daughter of the Midianite chieftain who was killed at the time of the plague on account of Peor. And it goes directly into when the plague was over here, when the plague was over, Vayi Achreihem Gefa. And then there's a break in the text. And the next sentence is, Hashem said to Moshe and Elazar, son of Aaron the Kohen, saying, take a census of the whole community of Bnei Yisrael from the age of 20 years up, etc., etc. Okay, so essentially this piece of text, which we're looking at here, that's just so you can see the English if you want to see it. The first part is referring to the immoral behavior of the Israelites at the end of the last parasha, and the commandment from Hashem that Bnei Yisrael should attack the Midianites for bringing them into disrepute. And then we have this strange attachment of the words when the plague was over, a break in the text, followed by a new line where Moshe is told to take a census. So why? So the first port of call normally is Rashi. So what does Rashi say about this interesting phenomenon, as you say? So this is Rashi's text from Sefaria. So he cites the Midrash in Tanchum 4, and he treats the text as though it was one sentence. He essentially ignores the break completely. And he says, and it came to pass after the plague that Hashem spoke to Moses. So he puts them together, and he suggests that the census is a direct response to the plague. Just like after a wolf kills some sheep, the shepherd will count them to see how many are left, just to see how many of my sheep I've got left after this attack from the wolf. Very sensible interpretation, makes perfect sense, but it doesn't help us at all with why the break is there. In fact, it probably makes it a little bit more confusing, because if the census is directly related to the plague, then there would be no need to pause the text. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. The Ohar Chaim, on the other hand, he's interested in why the words "and it came to pass after the plague" are attached to the previous paragraph. So he looks at it slightly differently. He's not looking at the break again. He's looking to see why are the "and it came to pass after the plague" not in the next sentence down? And he suggests that if I show you what I'm talking about, in case you've forgotten. So here we go. He wants to know why are these words attached to here? That's what his question is. And his interpretation is that only by complying with the commandment to attack the Midianites, so what's being talked about here, will the Israelites be able to rehabilitate themselves from the previous poor behavior and so completely put the plague behind them. Again, that's very interesting interpretation, but it doesn't give us any clue as to what this space is in the text. Okay, so I think at this point, it's worth drawing a parallel with the only other place in the Torah, which I showed you before, where this happens, and that's in Bereshit and Vayishlach. So we've done Rashi. Now we're going to look at Vayishlach. Here we go. This is the point at which I showed you before. This is where a similar break occurs. Okay. So Reuven, at this point in the text, this is Vayishlach, he's just been recorded as having slept with his father's concubine Bila while his father Yaakov is away. So if you recall, this was after the death of Rachel, and there's a whole discussion as to why this might be, whether Reuven may be trying to protect his mother Leah, etc., etc. But essentially, Reuven is recorded as having slept with his father's concubine, and then his father finds out, Vayishma Yisrael, his father finds out here, his father hears, and it's followed on, the next line is a comment that Yaakov had 12 sons. So actually the translation is, while Yisrael stayed in the land, Reuven went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Yisrael found out. And then you've got a break in the text here, followed by, now the sons of Yaakov were 12 in number. Again, actually quite bizarre textual formation. And I found a really interesting essay from Rav Yair Khan from Gush Etzion, where he discusses the Targum, Yerushalmi's interpretation of the break in the phrase in Bereshit here. He says that the Targum describes how Yaakov was completely distraught by Reuven's sin, but he was distraught because, contrary to his prior belief that his children were completely devoted to the tradition started by Abraham, the sin of Reuven might actually signify a tragic division of his offspring, as it happened in previous generations. And Rav Yair Kahn suggests that the break in the text denotes a kind of silent cry from Yaakov, which was tormented by this fear caused by Reuven's terrible sin. But what's interesting is it's then followed by a very simple answer in the text here. Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar. Now the sons of Yaakov are 12 in number, which is a simple fact that would have perhaps quenched his overwhelming fear that in fact Reuven would remain part of the 12 tribes going forward. And you might actually be able to see parallels here with the pasuk that we're looking at in Pinchas. If we go back to our original pasuk in Pinchas, if you remember, there's this terrible sin at Pa'or and the plague, and then the words Vayhi Achreihem Gefar. And I remind you again of the indication that the cause of the plague was the tribe of Shimon. So there's this terrible sin that goes on. There's this plague. Then there's a dramatic pause. And the suggestion from Rav Yair is that actually Moshe and Bnei Yisrael were silently contemplating, just as Yaakov had done, this awful possibility that the tribe of Shimon may be expelled from their ranks. But the awful pause is followed in the same way as Yaakov, the text about Yaakov is followed with the matter-of-fact statement that Moshe needs to carry out a census. So by counting the whole of his community, all 12 tribes are to be counted, and including amongst Bnei Yisrael. And equally, you could interpret it not that it might not be about Shimon. It might be that Moshe was so frightened that Bnei Yisrael had behaved in this immoral way, and as a totality may have forfeited the right to the promised land. And equally, this counting of them post sin may have relieved Moshe in the knowledge that actually things were going to be okay, and they would be allowed to continue on their mission to the promised land. So I've brought you some suggestions from various interpretations, and I'm going to bring you one last one to end. Actually, a very slightly different interpretation from the Chizkuni, who was a 13th century French commentator, and he suggests something different and actually simpler. And he suggests that the Torah uses this break in the text as a device to emphasize that a line is being drawn under the many deaths suffered in the plague by putting this physical space in the text between the words about the plague and the next part, which is about the census. And therefore that the deaths that had occurred up to that point were the last ones that would be decreed on that generation. Indeed, if you think about it from that point on, those who were counted in the census would go on to enter the promised land, dividing history into a kind of pre-plague, post-plague. And you might see where I'm coming from, in how it might parallel to what's happening to us at the moment, what's happening in the world around us. And my concluding thought is that I sincerely hope that soon we'll see a piska be'emtsa pasuk, a line drawn under COVID-19, and end the lives that have been lost within our communities and across the globe, and we may return soon to some sort of normality. Shabbat shalom to you all.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Excellent.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you.
Fascinating.
That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Excellent.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Sarah. That was great.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom.